Britain enters lockdown. Now people can only leave their homes for very limited reasons.
The UK wakes up to the toughest restrictions on daily life in living memory to tackle coronavirus.
This has been the sort of scene imagined by science fiction writers after an apocalyptic disaster.
BBC presents, in association with Endeavour Content, a Shoebox Films and Sonia Friedman production. The 24th of March, 2020. James McAvoy, Sharon Horgan. Together. Daytime. In a leafy suburb, a middle-aged man and woman unload bags and rolls of toilet paper from the boot of their car, then take them into the house.
Don't you carry anything for me, man.
A young boy helps carry a bag. First day of national lockdown. UK deaths from coronavirus 422.
You're in the living room!
I mean, my God. The only thing keeping us together is our child.
Arthur.
Little Artie.
His name's Arthur.
Yeah, if it wasn't for little Artie, we would have split up years ago.
The truth is, we just can't stand each other. So, this lockdown, being in the same house together,
The only thing that makes living with her even remotely bearable is knowing that I get to leave this house every day.
I feel exactly the same.
Oh, my God. Saying goodbye to you, it's without doubt, it's the best part of my day.
Just being in the same room as him.
And coming back and having to see her again, I mean,
It's like a sadness and a soul stink both mixed together.
I hate your face.
My face?
I hate your face.
Oh, you hate my face?
It's just your face. I hate it.
Oh, what? So you're saying I'm unattractive then?
No, you're attractive. I mean, she's very attractive. It's just your face. I totally hate it.
I actually think of him as a cancer.
I hate looking at it. It's maybe your eyes or something.
Not skin or a testicle, but one of the really bad ones, you know, like liver, pancreatic.
Is it your cheeks? I mean, I can't even put my finger
on it. It's colorectal. When I think about you, I get exactly the same feeling as when I think about my dead dad's cancer. Exactly the same.
It's your lips. It's our lips.
I've got great lips.
I know you do. You get great lips. They're fantastic. I just totally hate them.
We should never got together in the first place.
Madness.
I mean, we're just so different, poles apart. But at the time, you think, oh, opposites attract.
You know, you're caught up in all the
Do you know what else attracts?
Moans and pheromones.
Serial killers to victims.
Intoxication of the heart racing sex.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Just the thought of actually having sex with you.
I know.
And politically as well, we're totally different.
I believe in hard work.
Everyone believes in hard work.
Right. Well, she, right, is a good old-fashioned, unreconstructed socialist.
That's my mother, you describe. You're actually talking about my mother. You've never understood my politics. I'm actually quite moderate. I just happen to believe in not exploiting the workers of this country.
The workers? Listen to this. What do you know about the workers? I'm actually from the workers, right? Brought up by the workers, and the workers aren't what you think. It's not all fish suppers and roll-ups and sing-songs Randy Al Joanna. The workers are fucking horrible.
You just hate people.
I just hate lazy. Meanwhile, those of us who were brought up in the chattering classes...
Oh, my God!
Right, the literati elite.
My dad was a dentist!
You pulled yourself up by the bootstraps, right? That's what I did. Got myself on top, worked hard, and I got out.
Jesus Christ, dial it back. Yeah, you're from fucking Kilmarnock. Not Compton.
We were poor. I got on top, I got out.
At the time, I thought, you know, oh, that's cute. He's a Tory.
I am not a Tory.
You've voted Conservative in every election since we met.
I voted for Tony Blair. Oh, fuck. Can we just not talk about politics, please?
We're worried about my mum.
We should have just brought her here.
Well, there's no point in rehashing it, is there? I mean, we made a decision.
I'm not rehashing. All right, it's not what I'm doing. I know we made a decision. I know that. It's just she's on her own, right? And little Artie...
Arthur.
He's only got one grandparent. I'd love him to be able to keep her. And besides, it's not like there's that many people that you know. Get him.
She's got carers that come in.
They're awful.
They are not awful. They're overworked.
They come in, right, for 45 minutes, three times a day. They chuck on some microwave pasta, change our colostomy bag, and then they're straight onto their phones.
That was one. That was one girl. And some of them are amazing, you know? And they're paid shit, by the way. They work from 7 in the morning until 10 at night, and they travel from client to client. And if there's waiting in between clients, they don't get paid for that, you know? Works out less than minimum wage.
Look, I'm not having a go at them, all right? I know some of them are amazing, some of them are not amazing, and they're not even family. And here, that is another thing. They're travelling. Is that okay?
I don't know.
I mean, are they wearing masks when they're on the bus, or whatever. I've seen people out there. People out there are wearing masks.
Yeah, well, they're advising against wearing masks.
Well, what happens when they're on public transport? Do they become a vehicle or a vector? And other countries are wearing masks. Should we be wearing masks?
I don't know.
What's what I'm saying? Nobody seems to know anything. Anything at all.
We've been trying to get her into a home, me and my sister.
It's a beautiful place, beautiful. I mean, it's got all the gear.
We're not trying to get rid of her.
No, line dancing in the morning, kidney dialysis in the evening, and she knows you're not trying to get rid of her, by the
way. Well, when we went there last, she said, you bitches are trying to get rid of me.
She's a colourful character.
I just want her looked after.
Yeah, both my parents are dead, so, you know, thank God. Look, I'm really sorry. Okay, we need to get on. I totally know that. And God knows how long this thing's going to last. It's just, this whole thing, it is so confusing. It's just, nobody seems to know what is going on. The ship is steering itself and all the grown-ups have been fucking beamed up. And the people out there, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
What about the people out there? Well, go on.
Don't worry about it, you'll get all.
No, come on. Look,
no,
if we're
right.
going to get through this, then we're going to have to,
what?
You know... We'll talk.
Us?
Yeah, I think so, don't you?
You want me to talk?
Well, I suppose so. I mean, don't we have to?
Right.
Like a bit?
Yeah, all right. Well, look, this was yesterday, right? Just before they announced the lockdown. And I'm down at the Tesco local, you know the one in the corner?
Yeah, the one on the corner.
You met the Tesco local, the one in the corner, and I'm in there, right? And it has been picked clean. I mean, locusts, right? And I'm in there because I want to get aubergines. I'm going to do this
katsu curry aubergine.
I'm going to do my katsu curry aubergine. I mean, it's the only fucking thing Artie will eat. And so, there's not a sign of an aubergine, right? Not a courgette, not a tomato, not a carrot. And so I see this woman that works there. I reckon I've seen her before. She's, like, 50s and quite short. And but I don't mean this to be rude or anything like that, but she's quite recognisable because she's got quite a big nose.
Yeah, I know her.
You know the one?
Yeah, she's lovely.
Well, she comes out from behind one of those plastic flappy curtains that they've got. And when she does, I can see in there and I can see a whole crate, whole stack of aubergines, right? Masses of them. Masses. So I'm like, brilliant. So I go up to her and I'm like, excuse me, have you got any aubergines? And she's like, no. And I'm like, what? She's like, no. We're out. Just like that. Not even particularly
Which
polite.
Which is unusual for her because she is lovely.
Anyway, so I go back up and I'm like, Excuse me. I just happened to glance behind the plastic flappy curtains and I just noticed a whole crate of aubergines. And she's like, oh, fuck, oh, no. Like, flustered, because suddenly she thinks there's going to be a situation or something like that, right? And she goes, I can't give you those aubergines. And I'm like, why not? And she goes, because my manager says we're not to put those aubergines out yet. And I'm like, ah, right, now I get it, you know? I mean, I say, listen, here's the thing. My little boy, he's a lovely little boy, but he's a bit weird about things. And right now, aubergines are the only thing you'll eat. So I'm not asking you to go in there and put all the aubergines out. I'm just asking you to go in there and get me three so that I can do katsu curry tonight, you know? And she goes, like, voice all wobbling. She's like, sir, I can't give you those aubergines because we now believe that one of our drivers has fallen prey to the coronavirus. And we're trying to figure out if he's the one that touched that produce. And she thinks that's the end of it, right? But I'm like, I'll give you a tenner. And she goes, no. Give you 20 quid. And she's like, sir, I can't. I'm like, 50 quid for three aubergines. She's like, please, sir, don't. £200 right here, right now. She's like, really, sir, I can't. A grand. What? I'll give you a grand. £1,000 right here, right now. I'm good for it. I've got my own business and I've done really well for myself. I'll head to the cash point, use three credit cards. I'll come back here. I'll put a grand in your hand if you go in there and you get me three aubergines. She's thinking, right? Because, I mean, she needs this. She's pushing on minimum wage, a little bit above. She needs this. She's living hand to mouth, though. She's thinking, right? She goes, what is this? All around her to see if anybody's listening. And she goes, sir, voice all wobbling, God love her. I would love £1,000. I really would. It would make such a difference to me and my family, but I can't in all good conscience give you those options because if you or your son or anybody else died, then what kind of person would I be? And I look at her, standing there, and I say, you big-nosed prick. You fucking loser. Do you not understand, you fucking big-nosed prick loser? This is the reason why you're stuck in this shitty job, and I've got an E-class Benz waiting for me outside, and I just drop my shopping all over the floor, and I walked out.
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
What?
Oh, God.
It's the only fucking thing elite right now.
You are awful.
I wanted to do the cast.
You are the worst human alive.
It's the only thing elite
what
right now.
What kind of awful
talk.
Person?
You said talk.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going to come out of your fucking mouth, did
thank
I?
Thank you. I feel awful now. Thank you very much.
You feel awful now.
Yeah, I do.
Do you know what blows my mind? Do you know what actually wakes me up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat is the fact that I used to love him. I did. I really did. I mean, how is that even possible?
Believe me, our former feelings for each other are as inexplicable to me as they are to you, but she's right. We were in love. I thought she was incredible.
I thought he was charming.
Yeah, I think you're repugnant.
Yeah, I think you've got the same level of charm as diarrhea in a pint glass.
Right. Lockdown's going to be hard then.
It's going to be really, really hard.
Really hard.
He marches off, leaving her in the kitchen reeling. In a nearby garden, a child's bouncing on a trampoline. The 8th of April, 2020. UK deaths from coronavirus, 7,097.
Breaking news coming into us within the past few seconds. The Prime Minister has been admitted into intensive care with those persistent symptoms of coronavirus.
Now, a city's in lockdown, fall almost silent. The largest, brightest supermoon of 2020 has risen in the night sky.
The spread of this virus is not accelerating, and that is good news.
Don't give me any more. You're a rotter.
Mushrooms.
Oh, Christ, Geoff. Tell them about the mushrooms, go on.
Basically, mushrooms are to blame for everything.
Your jokes are better than that.
Everything is the fault of the mushrooms.
See, if it wasn't for the mushrooms, right, we wouldn't still be together. Go on, you tell it so much better than I do. Go on, tell them.
So, this is year three. We've had a warm, cuddly first year.
Bliss, love, harmony.
I made it through the slightly spiky second year.
That gentle descent into snarkiness and bickering.
And now we're well into year three.
Terrifying plunge into the icy Arctic.
Am I actually telling you?
By this point, right, we hate each other. We don't want to admit it, but we both know. And we're both independently making plans to get the hell out of Dodge.
I vividly remember being at dinner with him, watching him eat, and just thinking, it's the worst thing I've ever experienced.
What? I'm not a bad eater.
No, it's not that you're a bad eater. It's just like, it's just the fact of you eating. Like, watching you eat makes all the various different processes involved more apparent. You know, like mastication and rending of flesh, grinding of matter, just mixing with saliva and sucking it down into your big old meat bowl of acid to break it down until it's no more than a brown sausage of turd to be squeezed out via your anus.
Wow, you get all that from eating?
No, just you eating. So safe to say we're not gonna carry on. And we had this massive blow up just before my birthday, like massive final straw.
Yeah, but I stupidly booked this surprise birthday weekend mushroom picking of all things in the New Forest.
The New Fucking Forest.
And it was a non-refundable deposit, so you know.
So they take you out to the New Fucking Forest at some god awful time in the morning. And they force you to pick mushrooms.
They show you which ones are good, how they should be picked, how they should be cooked. It was really interesting, actually.
It was so boring.
Come on, had we been in a living relationship, we could have actually made some friends.
The people were awful.
No, one or two of them were okay.
What about your man who was like...
Oh, yeah, he should have been executed.
So they teach you how to pick mushrooms, and they also teach you which mushrooms not to pick. And there's this one particular mushroom, and the guy's like, if you eat that, you know, it's not going to kill you, but it will be really bad. If you eat that mushroom, there will be stomach cramps, there will be projectile vomiting, there will be extraordinary diarrhea, and you'll piss yourself. And we were both thinking the same thing. I would love to shove that into the other one's fricassee and watch them squirm.
Well, right.
Like, I would love to pick that mushroom and watch that stupid bastard lying on the floor, shitting his pants, thinking he's gonna die. I mean, not really, you know, you don't really want that to happen. You're just enjoying the fact that it could happen.
Yeah. And then it did happen.
Yeah.
I got poisoned.
He did get poisoned.
Oh my God, one of us picked the wrong mushrooms.
Yeah, I mean, they look stupidly like the good ones.
They ended up in this fricassee, which I alone ate.
Yeah, because you went on ahead.
Well, because you were too busy dawdling buying New Fucking Forest fudge.
Yeah, for your weird friend Nathan, who specifically asked you to buy it, and yet you get angry at me for trying to, and then you just, like, sulk on ahead and cook them up yourself to make a point.
Aye, look. Thought I was going to die, okay?
Yeah. He did. He really thought that.
The pain was extraordinary.
He did think he was going to die.
That feeling that there's something in your body that wants
you
dead.
He was fine, though.
Ow! I was at death's door.
You were at the door. You weren't on the premises. The guy specifically said they're not fatal.
Took that ambulance 1 hour and 30 minutes to get there.
No, it did. It did take that long. That was a bit scary.
Uh-huh.
I held his hand the whole time.
Yeah, you did. She held my hand. See, the thing is that when you go through something like that, and you feel this terrifying panic, right, this absolute certainty that you're going to die
just
today...
Just to reiterate.
...and that the person you're with is the last person you're ever going to see, it bonds you.
Yeah, I mean, when you go through something like that, it does bond you. So we decided to try again.
Which was the biggest fucking mistake in the history of mistakes. Because in that brief respite, right, on the sunny uplands of stupidity, we decided that what we really needed was a child. Huh? Never make decisions after a near-death experience.
Or even a death-adjacent experience.
You see, that fetus, right, was no bigger than a fucking bullet to the head before we remembered that we could not stand the sight of each other, and the rest, as they say, is shit straight.
And that's the mushroom story.
Artie, yeah.
It's not been that bad, though, lockdown.
No.
We're 2 weeks done, and, you know, we're getting through it.
Yeah, we are.
Don't get me wrong, it's not been pleasant, though.
Oh, God, no.
Still have to see each other, pass each other on the stairs, and just with everyone being so happy, clappy, fucking cheerful.
Oh, which is inappropriate, by the way. Have you seen WhatsApp? It's intolerable.
Twitter, Instagram, you can't even, you know, we're all in this together, guys. We'll get through it.
Oh, my God, I'm learning how to play the banjo. Look at me. I made a macrame scarf out of fucking pasta twirls. Just pack it in.
So there's been a lot going on, and it's helped us not to have to, you know, focus on or talk to or even notice each other.
Yeah, maybe we could just pretend that the other one was in a coma or... Look, my business for one thing, right, it's taking a lot of sorting out.
Tell them what you do.
Don't start.
No, go on.
Don't start with that. Because it's not...
No one understands what he does.
Yes, they do.
I don't understand what you do.
That is absolutely not true. People do understand what I do.
Go on, tell them.
Okay. I've got a boutique consultancy. We specialise in data analytics and finding technological multimedia solutions.
I mean, what?
For linear online broadcast marketing providers. We specialise in cost efficiency savings. I mean, what's so complicated about that?
When we were first going out together and people would ask him what he did and he'd say all of that, I would just lean forward and go, he means computers.
Which is really funny, a million years ago. But look, there's been a lot of wrapping up, so thank God for Rishi.
Comrade Rishi.
Eh?
I'm just saying, the state stepped in.
Oh, it's a pandemic.
Borrowing to invest in jobs.
It's a pandemic.
I mean, isn't this exactly the manifesto that Jeremy Corbyn fought the last election on?
Yes, it is. Yes, you were fighting the last election in order to introduce measures which have been absolutely perfect for shutting the economy
well,
down.
It wasn't a pandemic in 2008 when the bank...
Don't. I never agreed with 2008. Fuck 2008. There is no such thing as too big to fail. That would be socialism. Now let the weak perish.
Yeah, don't mind the handout now,
they're
though,
loans.
Do you?
They're loans, women. They're loans. Look, my company's not weak, OK? Never been weak.
Yeah, no, it's just incomprehensible.
Anyway... There was so much to sort out. There was all the loans. There was the refund in statutory sick pay, the VAT, the furlough, and then the furlough. I mean, that was actually really important to me because I got 12 employees.
Yeah, who you sacked.
Who I did not sack.
You already sent out the emails.
Which I immediately rescinded when the furlough came in.
Yeah, when the government was paying their wages.
They're really good people. I took them all back.
Yeah, at 80% of their salary.
Which is what the furlough is.
You can top it up, though.
If you're a mug. But meanwhile, she's still getting to work.
Yeah. Well, I work for a charity called PFN. We're like the Taliban version of Medicine Sans Frontières.
Oh, aye. Saving the world, this one.
Mm. I work with refugees.
It's good what she does, actually. I am actually proud of that. I'm a bit proud of that.
I'm just a coordinator, so it's...
Aye, for Europe. For the whole of Europe. Working her fingers to the bone. So she is. I mean, I don't agree with most refugees on principle, but some of the ones she helps...
Aye. The ones I help are no different.
Some of the stories of these ones...
These ones are no different.
I mean, your heart goes out to them. It's heart-rending, the stories of these ones.
Which ones? Which ones? Which ones are these ones? These ones are no different... Do you know what? I'm not even going to get into it. There's been a lot going on. And you know, with homeschooling, which in fairness he has taken the lion's share of, and he's good at it.
Aye, the Portuguese colonisation of Macau and the melting point of lead were just two little memory nuggets I was particularly proud of.
He has been good at it, other than that.
And it actually suits little Artie better as well. I mean, he's not very good with other kids.
Yeah, but he's lovely.
Isn't he? I know he's lovely. Yes, he is. He's a lovely wee boy. He is indeed. He's a lovely, lovely wee fella. Now, fair's fair. You gave me a great son.
I didn't give him to you, fuck. And then there's Mum. Obviously, I was worried.
Oh, we both were. You know, whatever's going on between her and I like the old girl.
She hates you.
She loves me.
She hates your politics.
She loves my politics. It gives her something to argue against.
My mum's a flat-out died-in-the-wool communist.
You're proper old-school CCCP-loving commie.
Never got over the fall of the Berlin Wall.
See, back in the 70s, right, she had links to the Angry Brigade.
She didn't have links.
But the people that were trying to blow up the telecom tower. She's the reason that the revolving restaurant no longer revolves.
She may have hid two people who may or may not have been involved for a number of hours, yeah.
See, I once caught her, right, trying to read Das Kapital to little Artie in his crib. I mean, I love her.
She is fiercely independent. Mm. Took us ages to get her to accept the carers coming in.
Well, she's just scared, yeah. Isn't she? I mean, her legs, they're not what they once were. And they get scared when the legs start to go. Mind you, it's all started to go now.
I'm forcing her to Zoom every day.
Her kidneys and her eyes. And her neck went this one time, right? And I don't mean like her throat. I mean like her neck muscles holding up her head. She's like, ah. I'm like, you all right, darling? She's like, ah, ah. I give her a wee nudge. She's like, ah, ah. I'm like, fuck me, man. It's terrifying.
Anyway, so the afternoon, the carer comes in.
Oh, this is with Miriam, right?
Mariama.
Somali girl. I call her Miriam. She loves it.
Ah, she really doesn't.
Anyway, she's the good one.
She's one of the good ones.
Anyway, you're on the Zoom and you see her.
Yeah,
don't you?
I see her. And she's wearing this, like, homemade visor, like, made out of plastic, like, see through, you know, like a plastic pocket kind of thing, held on with rubber bands.
I mean, she's fucking Miriam. The good one.
Yeah, and I ask her about PPE, and she's like, well, they haven't given her any extra at all.
No, nothing. They're having to make their own gowns out of bin bags. I mean, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, so Mariam is not happy about this at all. And, you know, because she's scared. She's scared for herself, scared for her family, she's scared for her clients.
Tell them how many buses she has to get.
Three.
And how many clients that day?
Eight.
I mean, what the fucking what?
Yeah, so I go into a tailspin. I'm calling, like, the council, the doctor, you know, I'm calling helplines, but can't get any answer because of everything that's fucking going on.
So I'm ready. I'm just going to go and get her and bring her here. But then am I exposing her?
Yeah, I mean, does one of us go and stay?
But then who's looking after him?
Yeah, so, I mean, we're just, like, besides ourselves. And, you know, there's this killer virus out there and you're sitting pretty, like, while your mother, like, your mum. And I'm thinking, is this it? You know, is my mum going to die? Like, is my mother going to die now? We're fucking terrified.
But then her sister just swoops in, sorts it all out of the blue.
She was amazing.
Out of the blue?
Yeah, and which is, you know, because she's not normally. I mean, normally she's a bit
selfish.
Not selfish.
Trying to be a comedian.
Yeah, it's not a comedian. It's more performative
than
that.
Trying to tell her a fucking joke every now and again. That might raise a laugh. But look, first fair, you know, she saved the day.
Yeah, she got her to go to that home.
That care home, you remember?
Yeah, she persuaded her to go to that care home.
Lovely place, I mean, absolutely amazing. God knows how she managed it, but somehow.
Yeah, she persuaded her to go to the lovely, lovely home and they took her in.
What a relief.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I know. Overnight, no messing, right in, overnight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, she'd be safe there, right?
In there? Aye, she'll be safe in there.
They turn away from one another. She looks anxious, her mouth slightly agape. The 11th of May, 2020. Artie's sitting at the kitchen table, drawing. He's made a get-well-soon card for his granny. It has a photo of him, his parents and his grandmother on the front. He picks up his coloured pens and steps out of the room. UK deaths from coronavirus, 32,065. Darkness is falling. Artie's dad is in the garden, where he lights a cigarette.
This evening, I harvested asparagus. I've never done that before. Actually, I shouldn't have done it now, because I only planted them a few months ago, and with asparagus, right, you're supposed to leave them for 3 years to let the crown bed in, otherwise it dies. Apparently, that's what Google says. But I just could not resist it. You know, I'd grown it with my own hands and soil. And look, I'm not saying I'm some green-fingered vegetable person. I mean, that is not what this is, you know. It's just this year with everything that's going on. I ordered them back in early February. Don't know why. Just did, you know. This was just when we were getting the first sniff of this thing happening off in far-flung China. This little place that nobody'd ever heard of. And these health things, they do happen every now and again, don't they? I mean, like bird flu, Ebola, SARS. And don't get me wrong, I am not saying that I knew this was all going to happen. I'm not saying that I was thinking I had to be some Grizzly Adams nuclear fallout shelter kind of guy. I'm just talking about planting a few veggies, you know, and I actually think about doing it every year, just never get round to it. I suppose it's like learning the names of trees or reading Charles Dickens. You know it's going to make you a better person, just nobody fucking does it. But this year, with everything that's happening, I actually find myself doing it. And I'm planting vegetables, you know? I've got everything in there. I've got carrots, courgettes, tomatoes, cucumbers. I've got radishes. I've got this wee thing that I got from Venezuela. I'm not quite sure what it is. And asparagus, right? So tonight, we get a call, just probably after they've announced the official end of the lockdown, from Jonathan, right? Jonathan's the ICU nurse over there at the hospital. Amazing guy, Jonathan. Like, he's lovely. I cannot speak highly enough about Jonathan. And he's the main nurse over there in intensive care, looking after the old girl, because COVID, you know, it just swept through that place. It just rampaged right through the care home. Loads dead, loads in hospital. Like the old girl, you know, taken in, intubated, on a ventilator, stuck in a coma. And Jonathan, he's on the phone to us every day, telling us everything, everything. Temperature, heart rate, which consultant is seeing her, when they're flipping her onto her front so that she can get her breathing going. And when he's got a minute, right, which isn't very often, I'll tell you that, he talks to her. Or he'll stick a phone up to her ear so that we can. He's an amazing guy, Jonathan. Lovely, you know, just cannot fault him, cannot fault Jonathan. Anyway, when we get the call from him tonight, it's the one that we've been dreading, right? One of you can come in for 15 minutes to say goodbye. She's the one that takes call. She's about 6:30. And I'm watching her, and she's on the phone, and she's nodding away. Jonathan's on the other end, being smashing. And she hangs up, and she tells me, just real matter of fact, it's happening. Jonathan says, one of you can come in for 15 minutes to say goodbye. And that we're lucky, because most other places aren't even letting you do that. She's got to be there at 8:45. She just says it like that, you know, just cold as ice. But inside, I can see her heart's just, like, gone. You know, like that. Like that.
He clenches his fist, grits his teeth, and scrunches up his face.
So 8:45, right? I'm thinking, that's a bit of time. I'm going to harvest that asparagus. So then I clipped it and steamed it. Bit of salt and pepper. Made fresh hollandaise. It's not easy to do that, but it's really tasty when you do. And we sat down together. And we ate the asparagus. And she said it was lovely. I think it helped take her mind off. Anyway, here's the thing, right? The thing that's been going over and over and over in my mind is I'm sitting here waiting.
He relights his roll-up.
There was enough of an inkling back in early February for me to get myself online and order asparagus crowns. And I mean, who the fuck am I? But if there was enough of a sniff at this thing happening back then how come the people that run this country... Like, how come the people who actually run this country... How is it possible that the people who actually run this country...
He turns round as his partner arrives home. Taking a drag on his cigarette, he steps into the house, hands planted in his pockets. He finds her leaning over a laptop in the living room. She briefly glances up at him, then her gaze falls back onto the computer. He leans against the doorway.
What are you doing?
I'm just putting her temperature in the spreadsheet.
Why? I mean, is that... does that matter anymore?
No, I suppose not. What are you doing? Don't.
Well, I thought, like, no. like a hug, or...
No, because I have to self-isolate.
What, in here?
Yeah, don't you think?
He holds up his palms defensively, then steps backwards several yards until he's in the kitchen.
So how was it?
She was unconscious. And the hospital was weird. It was just really empty in the places that are normally busy. But, you know, you could tell behind the scenes everyone's just... Jonathan was amazing.
And Jonathan is amazing.
Yeah. He just told me everything that was going to happen, and he said the consultant had been in, and she reckoned it was going to happen in the early hours. But he said, don't worry, because he was doing an all-nighter, and, you know, he'd make sure he was there when the time came. He said that's what the nurses try and do. They just try and make sure that people don't die alone. And then he just showed me how to put on all the protective gear and for it to still be comfortable, you know, and then he took me in. And I had 15 minutes. I spent the first 10 just talking about the traffic.
Why?
The roads were so clear. Yeah, and then after 10 minutes, he leaned in and he said, you know, tell her you love her. And I did. All this stuff just poured out of me, all this stuff.
What stuff?
Just that I loved her. You know, and that I was proud of her, and I was really grateful for the person that she was and everything she'd done for me, and I was just so sorry that I'd never said any of that when she could hear me, you know, and that I loved her so much that my life was already hurting without her in it, and I was worried that the hurt would never go away. No.
He moves closer for a hug, but stops and turns.
Right.
And then I told her that Jonathan had told me not to worry. I told her that I'd spoken to him and he promised me that when the time came, he'd be there. I told her that he promised me he'd hold her hand. When she went, that's what I told her.
She rubs her hands together anxiously.
I feel like I do want to put her temperature in this.
Go for it. Yeah. But that, it isn't really a point, is there?
She shakes her head.
Look, there was never a point, so if it makes you feel better...
Well, if there's no point, it's...
She struggles to contain her emotions. He looks sheepish.
You said amazing things to her.
Did I?
Aye.
Because I don't think I did.
Oh, you totally did.
Okay. Good. Because then I was driving home and Jonathan called and he said it was happening now.
No, wait, no.
Yeah.
No. But I thought it was the early hours.
Yeah, but she'd taken a turn for the worse, so it's happening right then.
Jesus.
I know.
She battles to get the words out.
And she was alone.
Yeah, well, no, she had Jonathan, right?
She didn't.
Thought he was going to...
She didn't have Jonathan. Because he had another patient who was dying at the same time, and that person had no one, so... He said at least my mum had me to FaceTime with her.
Oh, my God.
And I really begged him not... really begged him not to leave. I said, you know, please don't let my mum die on her own. And he said, sorry. And I said, please. And he said, sorry that he had to choose. And he did. He did have to choose. He did. So he put his phone on the arm of the bed. And I sat in the lay-by on the ring road, FaceTiming in. I just sat there and I watched my mum die, listening to Jonathan on the other side of the curtain, telling a man he didn't even know that he was there and he wasn't going to leave him. So yeah, mum died on her own.
With tears in her eyes, she looks at him expectantly, then walks away, leaving him looking uneasy and furrowing his brow. He turns deep in thought and purses his lips. He exhales. She steps back into the living room and picks up her laptop from a dresser. She looks at him, then walks away. Artie's sitting in the hallway and watches his mum. His face falls and he looks despondent. Later, she's sitting in the bedroom, sobbing, her hand resting against her face. She stares into space and sighs. Now, nighttime on the 2nd of December 2020, heavy rain is falling. The UK becomes the first country in Europe to approve the Pfizer vaccine. UK deaths from coronavirus, 56,699. Artie's sitting on the stairs, looking into the living room where the TV's on. There's a video call with dozens of other people singing from their homes. Artie's dad mutes the TV.
So, we have been having sex.
Yeah, we have.
Which is...
Yeah, I mean, it's as big a surprise to us as it is to you,
totally.
To be honest. I mean, we did not see that coming.
Not at all.
Not in a million.
No, I never thought I'd go there again.
Jesus, last man on earth, give me celibacy now.
Yeah, but...
we have been having sex and...
Yeah, it's been...
Yeah, it has been. What's it been?
Been good.
Yeah, it has been good.
It's been really good, in fact. It's totally unexpected.
Yeah, but I mean it was always good, like historically speaking.
Historically, yep.
I mean not that we're ever all
Not some like super special
we're not that kind of super special, showy, like Olympic.
No, who's got time for that?
No, but I mean we had our quirks.
Yes, I'm not saying that we
back
were
back in the day, like...
Yeah, there was fun. There was ooh la la.
I mean, we're both of us just fairly compatible, you know. I mean, we're both very solid.
Quick.
Yeah, quick. Yeah. Both parties, pretty quick at sex. Yeah,
not bad, quick.
No, I wasn't saying no.
No, but just like, we know where we're going, we don't hang about.
Yeah, we're not into the whole, like, bump and grind.
I had none of that. Fucking tantric. Fucking Paul Weller. Fucking, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not all wham bam.
No.
Premature. That's not the.
No. We just both of us happen to be able to get where we're going with
time to spare.
Yeah.
Look, needless to say, all right, it's totally sideswiped the pair of us. I mean, a bolt from the blue.
Yeah, I mean, we think we've figured out why it's happening, but it still doesn't make sense, does it? No. Not really. But, you know, if we tell you, you're not going to understand it either, but here goes.
All right, so it all started right back at the end of the first lockdown?
Well, it was the night of Mum's funeral.
What? Well, weird day, to be fair, wasn't it? I mean, funerals, right? I'd buried both my parents, and there's this whole bunch of stuff that you have to organise, you know? The strangers coming to your door to pay their respects. Flowers, hymns, catering, picking coffin ornaments, and like, all this stuff. It can seem really irritating, but it's kind of amazing, because what it's doing is it's distracting you from what you've lost. And, oh, God, I remember my dad's funeral. It was this big 6-foot tobacco-y lead smelter, right? And he comes up to me and he grabs my hand in his big fists and he goes, he was the last of the great characters, that man, right? When he left, the fun went out of that place. I loved that man. And I guess it's stuff like that. It teaches you things that you never knew about the person you thought you knew everything about, and it distracts you. Anyway, you don't get any of that at a COVID funeral.
There's 5 people at our COVID funeral. 5.
Yeah, don't organise catering for 5 people.
You got to choose your coffin online, so you're like, oh, that one, those handles.
Yeah, no strangers coming to your door at a COVID funeral. Nobody's sending flowers. I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to wash them before they come in?
There's no singing at a COVID funeral, is it? There's no hymns.
No strangers grabbing you by the fist, looking you in the eye and telling you that your father's actually...
Well, hold on. Can I say something?
What?
Just, and you're not going to look at me all...
What? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you're going to say, do I?
He pours himself a glass of red wine.
I loved that funeral. And I know I shouldn't say that because other people, you know, Jesus, it's so painful for them. So agonising not to be able to have the funeral you need. But, like, I mean, for me, it was just the best. There's no catering to worry about. There's no flowers. No one's knocking at your door, poking their nose in. You're not obsessing about what the coffin is saying about your love for the person you're burying. There's no fucking hymns. It's just you and the person you're putting in the ground, and, you know, there's nothing to distract you from the pain of what you're losing, and I love that. I fucking love that funeral.
He leans in towards her.
I fucking loved that funeral too.
You did?
I did.
Well, then why are we all...
Because you were like, oh.
Yeah, but I was loving it. I mean, not loving it. You know, my mum is dead.
Yeah, but... obviously. I mean, but look, let me tell you, that big 6-foot chain-smoking lead smelter that came up to me and told me all that shite about my dad... That ruined my year. I mean, I do not need to find out that the guy that's been an arsehole to me for decades is actually Michael Bloody McIntyre, you know?
Well, I couldn't say anything because... Well, you know, it's...
No, you can't. No. You're not supposed to be happy about a COVID funeral, are you? No. And I suppose, like, when we got home, we just got caught up talking about Artie. And, fuck, Artie was...
He was upset.
Yeah, because he wanted to see the body.
Yeah, because he loved his plan.
And he wanted to touch it.
So what? I wanted to touch it. That's normal.
He wanted to taste it?
Not like, I don't say it like he's a cannibal or so. He didn't want to sauté it. He wanted to see if a dead body tastes like a live body.
Which is normal, right? Absolutely normal. Fucking curious child.
Anyway, we had the funeral. We came home. We talked about Arthur. We made some tea. We had a bit of cheese. And then the next thing you know, we had a sexual contact.
Should we tell them what it was?
No, we don't need to.
No, all right. Look, suffice it to say, OK, one of us had an orgasm.
We don't need to. Why?
I just thought they
need... Why do you find it the need to say that? That was it. A one-off. You know, we put it down to the day, to the situation. We're not doing that again.
Oh, God, no. Done. Bang. Over. What's on telly?
Yeah, and then post-lockdown life settles in and we just completely forget about it. Things start to change. You know, you can see people, you can go to restaurants.
They encourage you to go to restaurants, bizarre.
Yeah, and through all of that, we did not have sex.
No.
Even once.
No, and little Artie, right, he's back at school. Then he was out of school again because some kid got COVID and then he was in... Then he was out, and then he was in again. It was like a bloody yo-yo, to be honest with you. But point is that there was space to ourselves to do it in, had we so desired, and we didn't at all, did we?
No, I mean, I was working, I was busy.
Right, and summer comes, then autumn, And then it was like, just people seem to forget, didn't they, that we were living in a country that was being held together by shoestring and sellotape. And people that don't have the option to work from home. People, by the way, that would get shit jobs and shit paid but have to look after shits like us.
Oh, careful, comrade.
Oh, fuck up. The world is still dog eat dog. I'm not saying that. Have an idea, for Christ's sake. Don't just eat chicken fucking nuggets.
Oh, there he is.
And the point is, at no point during any of this do we even consider having sex. Not even just there when the lockdown to save Christmas starts. We're still not doing it, are we?
No, God, no. I mean, not in a million years.
No, and then, right, they announce a vaccine's been discovered and we just start ploughing like teenagers.
I mean, honestly, no idea why. Like, did the announcement trigger it? You know, is it a lockdown phenomenon? Are other people experiencing this?
Well, maybe, because the vaccine's going to make things better.
Yeah, for you, maybe.
How do you mean?
Well, they're not going to be vaccinating people in refugee camps anytime soon.
Here we go. Let the virtue signalling begin.
No. Rich countries will be snapping it up.
Hey, look, everybody. A good person is here.
Fuck off. Life and death shouldn't be about profit.
Everything's about profit. And don't say profit like it's a bad thing, OK? How do you think they made the vaccine? They used money.
Oh, well, all I know is that you are going to be getting the vaccine long before any frontline worker in Sierra Leone. And what the fuck do you do?
I would run out there tomorrow and get it if I could.
Yeah, no, I know you would. You'd run out there with your big fat fucking purse, like...
100%. I'd get it like a shot. I'd get it twice, three times, once for the weekend.
Why am I having sex with you?
I don't know. That's the point.
We did it in the kitchen this morning.
Over the dishwasher. I mean, that is unfathomable.
Why would you go into...
What are you talking about?
We're oversharing.
Oh, shit. We are. I'm really sorry about that.
Don't need to go into the info.
Yeah, all the ins and outs. Oh, come on. How old are you?
How old are you? Anyway, it doesn't mean we're all suddenly, you know...
Nope. No.
Suddenly all lovey.
No, absolutely not.
Dovey and all that.
Fuck no. No, 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 no. It's like, it's physical, isn't it? Physical, just purely contractual, eh?
Yeah.
Aye.
Isn't it?
Yes, yes. But it's not like we're suddenly in...
Fuck no.
Love.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, through the tulips.
Don't.
Fucking holding hands, braiding each other's bits and fucking...
It still makes me sick or something.
Yeah, in the sight of her, she still makes me want to stab my own feet. I mean, I definitely do not. Do I?
I think maybe the truth is that I'm still struggling with my mum's death, you know, and maybe the vaccine, like, triggered something, you know. I mean, just the thought that if she'd had it, you know, she'd... And just the unfairness of that, like, the nonsense of it. And so this physical thing that's been happening between us, I think maybe it's just helped.
Yes. Yeah, for me too.
You too?
Yeah, I think so. I think the sex has helped.
Well, yeah, the sex, but, you know, it's not just the sex, it's like the contact.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. It's the contact. It's the contact. And it's the sex as well, if I'm being honest, you know, for me personally.
And it's not just the vaccine that's been messing with my head. I find this really hard to admit, but I've got complicated feelings towards my sister now.
I think it's chilled me out somewhat.
And she feels terrible, you know, just... It's awful, terrible, and I should be feeling sympathetic towards her, but I just feel really angry. Like, I just have so much anger.
Like, it's relaxed me a bit.
And I hate myself for feeling like this. But if I'm really honest...
Just emptying my bags.
What?
What?
What did you just say?
No, I was just...
For God's sake.
Joking.
What, emptying your bags?
I was joking.
Don't joke.
I'm really sorry.
What is wrong with you?
I said I'm sorry.
You always do
honest
this.
To God,
you
really,
always
don't
do
always
this.
Do
just, no, just when I begin
I
to think, you always...
Anything.
Just when I begin
just
to...
when you begin to think what? Don't walk away. Don't walk away!
He shakes his head.
She's been hit by it. I know she doesn't look it, but... Inside, you know. Grief.
The 23rd of February, 2021. Darkness is falling. A bored-looking Artie's at home. He's kneeling on a wooden stool by the front door, peering through a stained glass window at the quiet suburban street outside. He's rocking back and forth. UK fully vaccinated, 669,105. Now using a spoon, Artie's flicking yogurt over the textured glass window in the hall.
Oh, sorry. We
UK deaths from coronavirus, 121,305. Indoors, she looks frustrated as she struggles to put her watch on her wrist. He's standing several yards behind her, watching.
I can't escape the feeling that my mother didn't die, she was killed. The problem is that people don't understand the word exponential. They think it means a lot or quite fastly. Like you see it on TV, you know, or in bad sci-fi movies. Good God, this alien mass is growing exponentially. And you think, oh, that's a lot. But it's worth taking the time to understand the mathematics of exponential growth. Right, so you start with one and you double it, say, every 3 days. So you're doubling it every 3 days. So by the end of a week, you've got four. One has become four in a week. And by the end of the second week, you have 16. By the end of the third week, you have 128. And as the month draws to a close, you have 512. That's after just 4 weeks. Okay, so that's a lot more than one, but, you know, not so much. But if you carry on, the fifth week gives you 2,048. The sixth gives you 8,192. The seventh gives you 65,536. The eighth gives you 262,144. And if you go one week more, pretty much near as damn it to the 2 calendar months from when this whole thing started, you get 1,048,576. So the difference between the start of the first week and the end of the first week is four. And the difference between the start of the ninth week and the end of the ninth week is 786,432. So same amount of days, hugely different numbers.
She looks round at the man, who keeps glancing at his phone.
This isn't an illustration of coronavirus, by the way. This isn't what actually happened. You know, we didn't quite go to 9 weeks before the first lockdown. There wasn't just one person who brought it into the country. There was probably as many as 1,300 patient zeros. And this doesn't take into account, you know, pre-lockdown efforts to battle the virus, track and trace, people changing behaviour. What actually happened is it's far more complex than what I've just done. What I've just done is illustrate the word exponential. And it doesn't mean quite vastly. What it means is that timing matters. It said that if we'd locked down 1 week earlier, just 1 week, that we could have saved 20,000 lives. So it seems to me that the word exponential was not understood, but I've just explained it to you, and I've just explained it to you in 1 minute, 34 seconds, and you get it, right? It's not that hard, is it? In January 2020, the Care Provider Alliance contacted the Department of Health and Social Care and said, what should we be doing about this new coronavirus? And they were told nothing, don't do anything different. And they contacted them a week later and they said, what should we be doing now? I mean, should we be self-isolating? Should we be restricting visits from family and friends? Should we wear masks? And this time they weren't told nothing. This time they weren't told anything. This time they weren't told anything at all. And it wasn't until a month later that they were given guidance. This is the end of February now. And the guidance was that you do not need to wear masks, and it remains very unlikely that people receiving care in care homes will become infected. And I'm going to repeat that. I'm going to repeat the advice from the Department of Health and Social Care. It remains very unlikely that people receiving care in care homes will become infected. You can look that up. It's there'll still be links for it. And this is 1 week before our Prime Minister is walking around just boasting about shaking hands with coronavirus patients. And then the Imperial College points out that if left unchecked, the virus could kill 500,000 people, and the government are like, oh, fuck, really? Oh, shit. And then the panic kicks in. The NHS is going to be overwhelmed. We're going to be like Italy. Oh, please, God, don't let us be like Italy. And ministers order 15,000 hospital beds to be vacated. And the guidance given to hospitals is that it shouldn't take more than 3 hours. So patients are taken out of hospitals and they're dumped into care homes. And they're not being tested because, and again, I'm going to quote here, that COVID sufferers can be safely cared for in care homes. So while the NHS, the burden on the NHS was being so hotly debated, and while, you know, the fact that there was not enough PPE gear to go around, while all that was being discussed, the care homes were given next to nothing. I mean, they were given dribs and drabs while the prices shot up. And some local authorities threatened to withhold money from care homes if they didn't take in confirmed coronavirus patients. So they were sent into these places like biological warfare. They were like blankets laced in smallpox. In the first lockdown, it said that 40% of the people who died from coronavirus were from care homes, 40%. So you see, I can't escape the feeling that my mother was killed, and not by a car or a gun or a knife or a cricket bat or even by the virus. She was killed by stupidity. She was killed by dumb fuckery. She was killed by someone looking at something coming at them at the speed of a freight train and just being like, oh, let's just carry on, shall we? Let's just, you know, it's a bit fucking Dunkirk spirit, you know, a bit stiff upper lip. Let's just carry on, old man. And my mother, my mum.
Thank you. I think that's it.
Do you mean?
Isn't it? Have you got that off?
Do you remember the when we were supposed to lock down? Do you remember we were supposed to lock down and then we didn't. And they came out and they said, you know, don't go to clubs or bars or restaurants, you know, unless you bloody well want to or something. That was when, like, Spain and France and Lithuania and Malaysia, they were all locking down.
Yeah. Is that it?
Is that it?
I don't mean, is that all you can muster? I mean, it genuinely. If you've got more, you've got the right to say.
Oh, yeah, sorry. No. No, that's it.
You all right?
No, I don't think so, really.
He takes a seat next to her, while Artie sits at the bottom of the stairs, eavesdropping.
I just feel like something's changing in me, you know? I just feel like I'm going into a dark, just a bit of a dark place.
Artie goes upstairs.
All right. Fuck. Why don't we think of something positive?
Positive?
Yeah, like, why don't we try and leave the room on a positive thing?
What positive thing?
I don't know. Arthur, what about Arthur?
Okay, what about Arthur?
Well, actually, he said this really interesting thing the other day. He's really clever. He really is. It's this whole evolutionary theory, humans as prey, which I know sounds a bit whatever, but bear with me, okay? It's this whole evolutionary theory that states that far from this picture we've got of early hominids being, like, the great hunter, it's actually the fact that we were prey that helped propel our development. And Arthur was saying that it still happens today.
Uh-huh.
He was saying that 50 people a year in Tanzania get eaten by lions, and that in this one village, there's, like a leopard that stands up out of the tall grass like that. And then when the villagers come to chase it away, it'll circle around the back and it'll eat a couple of the babies that have been left behind.
That's really grim.
I know, I was thinking that as I was saying it. It's a bit grim. Maybe something else then.
Yeah.
Can you think of anything?
Me?
Aye.
Oh, Brexit. That happened, so...
Let's just put aside of that, shall we?
Oh, I just... Your company,
My company collapsed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're happy about it.
Don't say that in front of... You had to fire people.
Oh, no, I don't mean... I didn't mean...
I'm not happy about it. I've had to fire people, and I've lost my job, and I've got no money coming in. I'm not happy about it.
I'm being
sanguine. I'm sanguine about it.
Yeah, I meant sanguine.
Maybe this is a bollocks
idea. No, it's not a bollocks idea.
It may be.
No, it's good. I think I like it.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah. Mariama. Mariama, mum's carer. She's still hanging in there.
Is that positive?
Well, she hasn't. The coronavirus hasn't killed her yet.
And we even told them that she got coronavirus.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, she got it really bad. Really bad, actually.
And yet, she hasn't died of it yet, so that's the positive. What the fuck?
I'm trying
We're
to...
We're going to try,
I mean, it's
a
your idea. Why don't you just think...
Why don't we get married then?
What?
You know, let's fucking... Let's fucking... Get married then.
She seems surprised.
Are you proposing to me?
Yep. Yeah, actually, I am.
Right. And your proposal is let's fucking get married then?
It's not Keats, I'll give you that.
Are you asking me that to say something positive? Is that...
No. 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 Absolutely not. No. Maybe a wee bit. I don't really know. Look, here's the thing. We've been through all this stuff, right? And we are, you and I, still here.
Wow. That is... I mean, that's the most romantic thing anyone's ever said to me.
Come on, fuck.
Did you hear that in a song or something?
Look, I've been thinking about it a lot. And I think that... I don't know how, right? But somehow... I probably love you.
You probably love me.
I love you. I fucking love you. And I know that doesn't make much sense because I kind of hate you as well. Or I've spent a lot of time hating you, but I don't think I do anymore. I think there's this chance that we'll somehow end up in this place that is the love that exists beyond hate. And the love that exists beyond hate, not a lot of people get to go there. It's a fucking peculiar place. It's unique. It's utterly rarefied. And it's extremely beautiful. So, yeah, I think we should probably... can marry.
I'm just thinking that... Well, I'm just thinking my mental state right now, you know, just because I've got a lot of anger, just a lot of hate and... No, because it's
absolutely.
Timing...
No, absolutely. I totally understand.
But if we were to...
Don't worry about it.
If we were to forget that, if we were to do it, we would have to do it under the banners of the auspices of rigorous honesty.
Absolutely. What does that mean?
Okay. Right.
She sits down in front of him.
It was me. The mushrooms. I picked those mushrooms and I think I know I picked them and I knew what I was doing and I did it to hurt you.
And then I stayed with you because you were poisoned. And then Arthur came along and, you know, then we were just stuck together.
I know.
What?
I know.
You know I picked the mushrooms.
No. I know you think you picked the mushrooms, but you didn't pick the mushrooms because I picked the mushrooms. You're being such a dick. And I saw the mushrooms and I thought, oh, I wonder what that would be like to stick that in her fricassee and watch her kin. You know the rest, you've said it before.
But you ate them.
Yeah, I forgot that I picked them.
Okay. You were going to poison me.
Yeah. You were going to poison me.
Oh, no, I was just fantasizing about poisoning you.
What's the difference?
The difference is the fucking poisoning.
It was me that got poisoned. And let's stop calling it poisoning, okay? I mean, it doesn't kill you. It just hurts you badly. A bit.
So you wanted to hurt me? You wanted to hurt me badly?
Yeah.
Why?
Why do you think? You walk around giving it, I'm such a good person. Look what a good person I am, look what I do for my fellow human being, but you are horrible to me. Every day.
You are exactly the same to me.
But I never despise you. Fucking hate you sometimes, but I never despise you.
That's not fair.
It was fair. You said honesty, you said that. You look down your nose at me. You always have. You are not a good person. You just need to read as a good person. See, the reason that you thought that you had poisoned me for all those years is because you are actually capable of doing that to me and more. At least I know when I'm being a piece of shit, but you're just a fucking shitty person that can't smell their own fucking stink.
He storms over to the front door and opens it before slamming it shut and coming back.
Look, right. I think I went a bit far there, but the thing to hold on to is that was actually a proposal of marriage, right?
She walks out of the kitchen and goes up the stairs. A tree sways gently in the breeze as sunlight glints through its foliage. 23rd of March, 2021. Clouds lifting above a row of back gardens. 1 year since the first lockdown. UK deaths from coronavirus, 126,284. UK fully vaccinated, 2,532,839. Artie finishes making a homemade face shield and puts it on. At the kitchen table, his dad's dipping aubergine slices in breadcrumbs.
Do you remember Nathan? New Forest fudge weirdo Nathan. Well, Nathan is really good at getting other people to do things for him, hence the fudge. And what he's doing now is he's getting people vaccinated, right, when it's not yet their turn. What he'll do is he'll take you down there just before close and he'll ask that when they've got a couple of vaccines left, instead of throwing them in the bin, would they give them to you instead, please? He's invariably told no, right, in very strong terms. And by the way, he is not the only guy down there doing this, right? There's a whole bunch of those guys down there usually trying to get vaccinated before they go. But Nathan, right, Nathan's got a secret weapon. See, he knows that, like, a minute before close, and they've got a couple of vaccines left. I mean, what healthcare professional wants to bend those? They're going to come out, and they're going to give them away. But when they see, like, I don't know, 10 of you sitting there waiting for two vaccines,
they're probably going to ask something along the lines of, do any of you work with the vulnerable? A second will go by and nobody will say anything, right? Because none of these arseholes actually do they? I mean, the real carers are all getting it elsewhere. Then another second goes by and 10 minds start to race. Then a third second goes by and the smarter and admittedly more venally shitty amongst the group start to realise that they're only one dastardly lie away from getting vaccinated. And see, by the time the fourth second comes and goes, there's all these hands jumping up in the air going, I'm Shiticus, no, I'm Shiticus, no, I'm Shiticus. Anyway, that's what Nathan does, right? He tells you this. He says, second they ask that question, you shoot your hand in the air, you tell your dastardly lie, you walk in the building, and you get what you came for. It is not illegal, but it's murky as fuck. And see, when I find out that she is talking to Nathan, things between us have been not good since the mushroom admission. This whole month, her job, she's always giving it the extra hours. And I'm always saying to her, oh, you need to get paid for that. It's not a charity, which is funny, because it is a charity. And she's usually in there at, like, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night, whenever. But see now, 5 o'clock comes, boom, she'll end the Zoom. I mean, it could be middle of a meeting, boom, ends the Zoom. Middle of a sentence, boom, ends the Zoom, right? She won't return her sister's calls. See, when I asked her why, she goes, I have got no intention of wasting any more of my life on other people. She won't even fight with me. She just fucking walks out of the room. I mean, the only person she's got any time for is little Artie, and even then, I sometimes catch her looking at him when she's playing with him, and I know she's thinking, all those years, you know? Just doing.
You get upstairs, pal?
Doing funny things to me, all this, you know. That and the collapse of my company. I used to think, you know, you lose your job, you bounce back, you fall down, you get back up again, you know. But I can't seem to get up. You know what I mean? I'm biting my fingernails. I can't stop ordering fruit online. Cried in the bath yesterday. The bath. I mean, I never cry, but the bath. It's fucking pathetic. So, it's safe to say that I am a bit of a mess over here right now, you know? She's off getting the old you-know-what with Nathan, and I thought, I'll take my mind off it, I'll keep myself busy. So I'm doing the katsu curry aubergine tonight. Got all the ingredients, got them down the same Tesco local as before. You know, I don't think I've been in there since before the first lockdown. It's so different in there now, though. You know, all the hand sanitizer, face masks. Last time I was in there, it was picked clean. It was like a 7-Eleven in a disaster movie. But now it's brimming with produce, and just like everything's just dandy. And the punters are walking about like they don't give a shit. And there's this one guy, right? Oh my God, this fucking guy. Late 20s, right? Jogging gear, earphones in, shopping in a basket, no mask, like, at all. And I'm looking around and nobody's stopping him. I'm like, and this guy, he does not give a fuck, right? So anyway, he's in baked goods, right? And he's standing with all the bread in front of him. And there's a woman below him. She's got the uniform on, she's stacking pit of bread, and he's over her like this, right? Like that. And I'm standing looking at him and going, you are too close to her, pal. What the fuck is wrong with you? Do you not get this? Because she's not got any choice but to be there, does she? And this guy, he goes, like, he decides, I am going to have a walnut loaf bloomer. I mean, he needs to get it, doesn't he? He's probably going to fucking die if he doesn't get it, right? So he does this, he leans in, like that. Like that, like close to her, and she's like here, right? Going, oh my God, what is this? She can feel it. Because this is close for normal times, right? And I mean, like, borderline inappropriate. But these days, with no mask, I mean, fuck me. So this guy, right? He goes, reaches in, right close, face, right there, right?
pulls out his walnut love bloomer. Gives it a squeeze, actually. No, not that one. Puts it back. Raises it for another. She's there, breathing. Brings it out. Oh, yes, lovely. And he jogs on, and I am fucking, like, fucking fuming, right? I mean, I'm raging, boiling. I'm so full of this stuff that I find myself in front of this woman, right? Because I've got to say something. I've got to say something to this woman, and it's her. The woman I shouted at. It's the woman I humiliated. She's got her mask on, but I can tell it's her. And she knows it's me, right? And she just goes, "Can I help you, sir?" I've got nothing. Until finally, "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry." She goes, "What are you sorry for, sir?" And I can't say, because I just fucking can't, can I? So instead I go, "Thank you for this, for everything, for all you do, for keeping us all going, for the risks you take, and for what you are." She goes, "What am I, sir?" And I go, "You're a hero. You are a hero." And she goes, "I'm just somebody that needs a job, sir." And by this point, I'm kind of crying, right? I mean, not actually, but inside. And I want to give this woman something, so I say, "It's going to be different." She goes, "What will be different?" And I say, "The world. People like you, you're going to be valued. We won't go back to the way it was, valuing the wrong things like CEOs or magazines or brand influencers, people whose jobs aren't important." She goes, "People like you, you mean?" "Yeah. Yeah, people like me. It's going to change. We'll remember." She goes, "No, you won't. You'll forget. And the world isn't going to change." I don't say anything because I think she might be right. I know she's right. She goes, "Can I help you with anything else, sir?" And I want to say something that matters. I want to say the one thing in my life that matters, and I want to say it to her right now. But the only thing in my life that matters is gone. So I just shake my head, you know what I mean? And she goes back to stocking pita bread and quietly saving all our lives for just above minimum wage. And
the woman arrives home wearing a black face mask. She takes it off, drops it onto a shelf in the hallway, and walks into the kitchen still wearing her coat. She locks eyes with the man who's crouching beside the oven.
"I'm not a shitty person."
"I know. I was just reacting when I said
that." "All the time. I'm not a shitty person all the time. But I am sometimes. And you are not a good person. Well, most of the time. Very much, really, at all. But you are sometimes."
"Thank you, I suppose."
She takes off her long checkered coat and walks over to the kitchen table. She hides her necklace by tucking it into her jumper.
I need to make a... I've been thinking about this a lot, and I need to make a... People are like, when we get back to normal, when it all gets back to normal, it'll soon be normal. I don't want to go back to normal. I really don't. I mean, what is so great about the way things were? Just at each other's throats. We're just... Everyone just at each other's throats over the slightest thing all the time. And I need to make a really drastic change. Do you understand?
Yeah. I think I do.
I just want a new life. You know, I can't go back to the old one. I really can't. And to do that, I need to make a drastic change.
No. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. I completely understand. 100%.
Are you crying?
I'm not crying.
Why
I'm
are you crying?
I'm not fucking crying, okay?
That's crying.
No,
why are
I'm
you...
Not... What do you think? Right, I'm broken up. Of course I'm going to fucking cry. This, what we're doing, doesn't mean nothing to me. Okay, and I get it, I really do, I get it. Maybe this is the smartest thing we've ever done, and we should have done it years ago, but I'm not some frozen-hearted ice queen with a heart of rotten granite, am I? I mean...
Have you got Arthur's jacket on?
Fuck's sake! Look, let's split up. Okay, let's do it, but it really hurts me. And I'm going to fucking cry. And you're going to fucking watch.
We're not splitting up.
What?
We're not splitting up. Why do you think we're splitting up?
You just said that we were...
I did not say we're splitting up.
You did? You... Well, what did you say then?
I said let's not get married.
No.
That's all didn't. I said. I did say let's not get married.
No, you didn't. You never said the word marriage. The word marriage never came out of your mouth.
Didn't I? Well, that's what I meant.
Is that what you meant?
I meant let's not get married. Let's not. I didn't mean not. Let's not be together. I meant let's not get married. I mean, what the fuck were you thinking anyway? What's going through your head? Are you watching fucking Bridgerton or something? I'm saying let's be together. Okay, but just in a nice way, if we possibly can.
He stares at her from the hallway as she sits in the kitchen.
Everyone's really angry at each other all the time. But we're all the same. We're all wearing the same clothes. We're eating the same food. We're listening to the same music. We're drinking the same stupid drinks. We're watching the same programs. Just that the entire human race is like running towards each other at the speed of light, shouting, get the fuck away from me. And I can't do that anymore. I'm not after all this.
Hey, pal, how you doing? You all right? Keepy boy, you gonna go play? You go play. I'll get the dinner ready. 10 minutes, all right? Catch the curry aubergine just the way you like it. Actually, I found a wee marinade online.
I don't like aubergine.
What?
I don't like aubergine.
Fantastic. I will just chuck that in the bin. Ah! Hello, fish and chips.
There's a dead parakeet in the garden.
There's a dead parakeet?
Yeah.
In our garden?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's a parakeet? I don't think you get parakeets around here.
Can I bring it in?
No, pal. Maybe just best to leave it outside, eh?
I'll just watch it decompose.
Yes, or you can chuck it in the bushes. Let the foxes eat it.
That's good too. Mm.
Artie pulls down his homemade face mask.
You two all right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, we're great. We're really great.
Artie hugs his dad while his mum watches. They stay embraced for several moments, holding each other tightly.
Here, why don't you go and play outside, Paul? It'll be 2 seconds, okay?
I don't despise you. That's a terrible thing to say.
She sits down opposite him in the kitchen doorway.
I didn't get the vaccine.
Wait, what?
No.
Okay.
And it was because of your stupid moping face. You've been moping for a week since you found out. I mean... Who the fuck are you to judge me? You. I was there with Nathan and I was ready and a bloke comes out and says, is anyone here a carer for the vulnerable? And your stupid mopey face just came into my head and I walked away. I walked away because I was worrying about what you would think of me.
Because of me.
What I feel for you, it's so weird and it's infuriating and irritating and it's really depressing sometimes, but it is a sort of love.
Are you trying to say you love me?
No, I'm trying to say I sort of love you.
And I'm just asking you, is that enough?
He frowns at her with teary, bloodshot eyes. She leans forward suddenly and plants a long, lingering kiss on his lips. She keeps her face in front of his, staring into his eyes from only a few inches away. She leans back, tilting her head as she studies his face.
Do you want to go and see a dead parakeet with me?
Yeah, I think I do, actually.
Once was a ship that put to sea. The name of the ship was a Bully of Tea. The winds blew up her bow, up down, oh, below my bully boys blow.
She strokes his bottom lip with her finger, then leans in for another kiss.
One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. Soon may the willowman come.
They sit nose to nose for a moment, then carry on kissing, pulling each other closer as their passion takes over. The wall beside them is plastered with drawings of rainbows and a hand-drawn sign that reads, "Thank you, NHS."
Soon may the willowman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go.
In the garden, Artie's bouncing up and down on a trampoline with his homemade face shield on. He's bouncing in sync with another boy, who's trampolining in his own garden a few doors down.
She had not been 2 weeks from shore when down under a right whale bore. The captain called all hands and swore he'd take that whale in tow. Soon may the whaleman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. Before the boat had hit the water, the whale's tail came up and caught her. Hands to the side, her pinned and fought her when she died below. Soon may the whaleman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. Soon may the whaleman come to bring us sugar and tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go.